Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
All right, in the first half, I tell you about swinging by a fire station and providing dinner for everyone and hanging out with the boys. A very interesting excursion for me last night. Also, Chris Hansen from Catch Predator is going to swing by and tell us all the good stories. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, sure you do. You do one or the other, right? You work hard. I'll tell you something that's easy. Geico, you take your homeowner's insurance or your automotive insurance and you bundle it up, or your renter's insurance. You get all in one big bundle over at Geico. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you can save when you get your bundle going at Geico. That's geico.com.
It's hard to be cool stuff and loose. Adam's monthly nut. Adam's monthly nut.
You heard Dick. A new nut has arrived. July's nut has for you two ACS koozies to keep that thin can of seltzer cold in the ball-melting summer heat. Brother Artisan's CBD oil to keep you chill in the ball-melting summer heat. The Hangover Secret. A hangover cure to make sure that after a night of heavy drinking, you don't die the next day in the ball-melting summer heat. And of course, a bottle of your choosing. Head to CorollaDrinks.com to sign up for 1 month or to keep the shipments coming. Prep your mails box for Adam's monthly nut. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Chris Hansen. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, inviting you in for some sweet tea and Toll House cookies, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The choice we're getting. Mandy, you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
I take it you're a virgin.
Oh, yeah. Chris Hansen. Cannot wait. All right. So I will talk to him about his illustrious career and Catch a Predator and all that good stuff. And I forgot I did Catch a Contractor. So it's kind of people confuse me with that.
And isn't that why they always said, oh, I love your show, To Catch a Contractor?
Yeah, or maybe that's what it was called.
I don't think it was.
Was it called Man Show or The Man Show? I don't know. Anyway, I have a new commercial that is and on our theme of oversharing in today's New World Order, where they talk about things that formerly they didn't talk about. You know, we had
singing
the
hoo-hahs.
When I was growing up, yeah, it was the mom and the daughter, and she had that not-so-fresh feeling, and the mom was going to coach her up on walking on the beach, and now we have a talking hoo-ha. Somebody tweeted me a commercial that, again, with the ladies, had nothing to do with the vagine, but situated just behind the vagine, mere feet is the anus.
Feet?
Well, I said mere.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
It could be less. Yeah. The point is there it is. Mm-hmm. right there, and there's another commercial in the oversharing department. It's the Garden of Life probiotics.
Oh,
so, you know, talking anus. What's next? The mouths.
Yeah, it's going to be like that. God, what was that? What was that sketch where the stomach played the trumpet?
Was it SNL?
I don't think it was an SNL.
Stomach played the trumpet.
The belly button played played the trumpet. Good and it was a semi-famous thing from like the 80s. Oh, we'll find it. Mm-hmm. Find it. Mark it down, Max Bat. I don't, or maybe it was just a thing like the jackalope or something. It was kind of around,
right. Okay. like a viral video.
Yeah, but
I think in Total Recall,
it would show up on shows. It would show up on like, you know,
really?
Those incredible videos and stuff. You put a big head on, and such to the point where your belly button becomes the mouth.
It's whistling. Is that it?
I think they played the trumpet. Oh, they could have whistled and played the trumpet, but then they would play Flight of the Bumblebee behind you, or the saber dance or something. Right. It's out there. Anyway, let's play the commercial. So it's a woman sleeping.
Being a human is hard.
She wakes up.
Especially if you're a woman who's also having trouble doing that totally normal thing all humans do, but
going into the bathroom.
Like to talk about.
Oh, are you talking about pooping?
Let's just say Garden of Life's doctor-formulated women's probiotics help your digestion so you can be a more regular human.
Women are comfortable talking about poop. You can just say poop.
It's 2021. I think everyone knows that women poop.
I love pooping. You poop, girl.
Plus,
they're sitting on the pot talking about pooping.
Garden of Life can help support immune system health.
Oh, are you poop-splaining me right now?
Wow.
Don't be shy about pooping. Pooping is powerful.
This is my favorite part of the day.
I poop. She poops. All women poop.
I'm a woman, and I poop.
I'm a woman, and I poop.
I'm a woman, and I poop regularly.
Thanks for the poop-powerment.
I'm not saying poop-powerment. I'm pooping right now.
Look for God, the number one.
I do this mainly just to watch Dawson's face.
They just made it worth it with the I'm pooping right now.
My vagina now?
Okay.
They broke through the porcelain ceiling.
That's right. They did.
Wow.
So this is prime time, man. And
that aired on TV?
In full disclosure, somebody just sent it to me, and I watch it. Wow. But fresh off the heels of the talking vagina, which I did see on CNN at 10:30 in the morning, I'm saying this is
the same
genre.
Yeah. Sure, Chris, find the director.
You know, speaking of the talking vagina commercial, we have unearthed some footage.
Oh no!
Yeah, you want to check it out?
Yeah, here we go.
Feed me now.
What's that?
Must be blood.
All right.
I treated my yeast infection with Femiclear. Kills over 99% of yeast.
What a tight beat.
It's all natural.
It's a tight shot on vaginas.
So instead of chemicals, my hoo-ha is full of joy.
Must be fresh.
Femiclear. Joie de hoo-ha.
Missy Moe.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a pretty good song.
There you go. All right.
Jesus.
Trumpet. I feel like with the velodrome and now the belly playing trumpet, I feel like I dropped some acid in the forest and I'm trying to figure out
what exactly is
going on.
I've definitely seen the whistling. The trumpet doesn't ring a bell because I don't know how that would work. Maybe, just put it up to your belly button.
Yeah, and then you just swing it around. Yeah. Or maybe it's the whistling and the trumpet. Either way.
You have to imagine if one's capable of one.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're surely capable of the other. So anyway, now we got poop. Now,
wow.
I will say this. A very small percentage of Americans definitely beat off to that commercial because that's a thing.
That's true.
Come on.
Number one. Number two, in a world with women's commercials where there's no longer the spokesmodel, but they will sprinkle in a couple of hotties. Mm-hmm. That was five chicks that were battling the bulge a little bit. Now, maybe there's something to do with taking a dump and they're backed up. But I wonder if as you make, you know, you had the vagina chicks were pretty hot. That's all I'm saying. Like, is there something of putting in a chick who's a little too hot on the pot? You know what I mean? Is that going to
get
people going?
You don't buy her as a pooper?
Well, I'm just saying it might inspire certain guys certain things. You know what I mean?
That's interesting. I took this as more of like an 80s comedy approach to female comedians when you weren't supposed to be hot. This is like a non-sexual topic.
They're all, I wouldn't say pleasantly plump, but they all had a little extra on them. And there was five different chicks. I'm saying if you put Rebecca Romijn on the pot.
She wouldn't do it. She doesn't have to do it.
She doesn't do it.
Yeah.
Heroes don't do that.
Right.
All right. So anything with the stomach trumpet? No.
I mean, Gene, I did find the whistling.
You find the whistler? All right. Well, let's see the whistler and
see if the trumpet comes up.
While he's doing that, I brought this up, I think, when we originally looked at the singing vagina commercial. And again, I don't know if these are on TV, but they are all over Facebook. There's an Instagram. There's a product called, I think it's Lumi, and it is very vagina forward, and it's a deodorant. So we are there.
Stick or roll on?
Looks like a stick.
The gel.
I saw Vagina Forward at Lilith Fair.
Second stage or main stage?
No, second stage.
Oh, we're missing the original drummer, but still rocks.
Now he's got the belly with the face paint and the person playing doing the whistling.
In his underwear.
In his underwear. Yeah, lipstick around the belly button.
I mean, I feel like you're right. This was a thing.
That's Jim Carolla with an assist.
Inspired.
All right, Max Bata, this would be like a big paper mache head that went over the shoulders and over the top and just left the belly out.
I didn't do that.
We'll see if that exists. All right. Anyway, tell me if you guys are down with this. It's happened to me two times in 12 hours, which is, and this is a public service announcement. If somebody says, and I don't know how you guys all take your coffee, but if you want cream in your coffee, a little bit of cream, especially real cream, whole
heavy
cream. Yeah, a little bit goes a long way.
Sure does.
And the people who don't put cream in your coffee, if they say to you, "How do you want your coffee?" and you go, "Oh, let's put a splash of cream in there," we'll go glunk, glunk, glunk. This shit comes out the color of Halle Berry.
Yes,
it's like, oh, that's not a little cream. But in their non-cream world, I'm adding cream. Like they sort of pour it like they're making a mixed drink.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Like they added like half and milk.
Yeah, I want 7-Up and Tanqueray. And they go, okay. They just kind of go glunk, 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 glunk. Well, there's your drink. Yep. And Rhino put some cream in my coffee and he brought it to me. But it's like, now it's not half cream. It's just way too much fucking cream.
Right.
And the thing is you could add more if it was necessary, but you can never get it out
can't
of there.
Take it away.
I've just started a huge test of this lesson. You can always add more. You can never add less. I have to put it in 4-year-old terms.
Yes. I was at a firehouse last night eating dinner.
I saw that.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
I was walking down the street in Malibu, and the sun was shining, and I passed a fire truck that was just parked along the street. It wasn't a full-blown fire truck. It was kind of the rig, you know, the big...
The halfsies?
Yeah, it had, like, the dually rear wheels and the stuff in the back, but it didn't have a tank on it. It didn't have a ladder on it. It was sort of the fire truck, but not a fire truck. And some dude behind the wheel... 55, 60 years old, and he's like, "Hey, Ace Man, how's it going? Welcome to the neighborhood," you know, and I started talking to him. And it became apparent that there was a firehouse that was right on the corner that I passed by all the time. The reason I take note of firehouses is two reasons. I decided when I was 19 that firemen had to be the greatest gig ever. And again, when they tell you their schedule, they go, well, one day on, one day off, then we're one day on, 2 days off. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you got a lot of days.
Yeah.
You get a lot of days off. I don't know, Max Baff, if you can find it, but like LA County or whatever firemen, they work like 13 days out of the month or something. Now they're there the whole time.
It's typically you probably talk to these guys, as far as I know, like 3 days in a row, then like 4 or 5 days off.
Yeah. whatever it is, it sounds better Sweet. Than I got to show up at 8:30 and punch in. Right. And if the boss isn't looking, I can leave at 5 every day versus I'm just there.
And when you're just there, there's cots and chili.
Yes. Yes. They're all. So, but what I do is I'll drive around, and if I see a firehouse, like there's one that's at the bottom of Coldwater where the Beverly Hills Park is.
Yes.
There's a park right mm-hmm. there. And it's like, that's beautiful. And you got a whole park. Your front yard's a running track mm-hmm. and a putting green.
Yes, and there's one above Bell Island. Spectacular. Right, it's right, gorgeous.
Right. So you got it. And then there's one in South Central mm-hmm. where it's like, well, we got a call because a woman tried to take a soldering iron to her infant. You know what I mean? Right. You got to roll on all those calls versus, you know, Ava Gabor got her poodle and it's in the jacuzzi and they need you to fish it out. You know, she's going to make you cookies, you right. know, like, yeah, it's just like, that's a sweeter
gig. Better gig, yeah.
And ostensibly you live the row of houses along PCH across the street from this fire station are $10 million. Mm. And some are $50 million if they're on like the double lot
nice
or whatever. The low end on that run of PCH is on the beach side. The lowest of the low end is $4.5 million, and that's for 700 square foot weird shack.
Oh, is this the fire station that's up a little bit? That's
it's like off Sunset?
But no, it's on PCH, but it's like tiered.
It's tiered. Wow. It's up about 20 feet. And if you're there,
you have a Smokey the Bear sign.
You essentially live in multi-million dollar real estate. Yeah. You don't own any of it, and your house isn't next door. But like, I walked into that place, and I was like, I can see the ocean from the kitchen. So you guys sleep up top, right? And he's like, yep. I'm like, so you get the full view.
Ocean
and he's
view.
Like, oh, yeah. And that's where they live half their life.
Nice.
You know, then they go back to Simi Valley or right. Fraser Park or something, but that's where they are. Plus, the temperature is always 72 degrees. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's nice. And, yeah. you know, anyway. So I would always look at that fire station and go, that's a sweet gig. Now, I thought you had to earn your way into that fire station. See, I figured
that's
where they put the seniority right. stuff. Like, you know, when you're an L.A. County sheriff, the first 3 years you spend in the jail. Spend in the prison. You know what I mean? Like the rookies right. go to the fucking mm-hmm. prison and deal with the hepatitis and whatever else, the race riots. Then at some point at the end of the line, you get dispatched to be the LAPD guy or the sheriff guy who's on the set mm-hmm. of movies.
Right.
In which case, you know, you just tell craft service, yeah, bring me over a plate right. of, you know, I'll take the ribs, you know. And so, but they don't give that gig to the rookie. Right. So I thought you earned your way to the cool destination firehouses. I was wrong.
Every firehouse needs rookies. You know, yeah. polish the cars and do the shit work, basically.
And in general, a lot of guys coming out of the academy don't want to go there. They want to go where the action
right.
is.
Right. Yeah.
Those guys are on brush fires.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yes. And I was going to say the Balboa one's constantly on the run. Why? So many old people.
Right.
Tons of old people calling in for heart conditions or I can't breathe or whatever. Like, we hear sirens every night.
So these guys they didn't get into fighting. You know, they didn't want to be a fireman to fight brush fires. Mm-hmm. They wanted to go into the warehouse. They saw a backdraft.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You go.
Not
we go.
Little House on the Prairie. Right. So that was interesting. The other thing, so most U.S. Firefighters are 24 hours on, 48 hours off.
Okay.
So it just goes back and forth. But it sounds like a pretty chill, or pretty, look, you got to work.
Especially when sleeping is built into those 24
sleeping
hours.
Sleeping can be interrupted, but built in. Dinners, you know, they cook yeah. in the kitchen, whole nine yards. So anyway, pass the guy. Guy tells me he's a big fan, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you're at this firehouse? Like, yeah, stop by, check it out. So I brought him dinner.
Ooh.
And again.
What did Olga make them?
It's a bought it. It's always been a dream of mine to live a life as a fireman. So I actually
look at that.
Went in there. And first things first, I forgot how much I love firemen. Firemen, they're the best. They're the best comedy. You know, if you could say, well, who do you hate the most? Well, publicist. That's the worst. They're the worst. Sure, sure. They're the worst. And who's second? TSA. Mm. And who's third? Meter maids. Mm. Certain jobs attract certain people, and it's just a certain kind of dude. And also, I just love a dude.
Right.
But I don't love a jughead meathead.
I want a dude
with like a dash of professional and a dash of education and what have you.
Sense of duty. Firefighters
they're the perfect bouillabaisse of all those sort of combos that you like in a dude. So
did I tell you that my grandfather was a fire captain?
Oh yeah,
and he worked his way up, and he was a captain of a firehouse.
Yeah, he must have been a good bro.
He's a good bro. No, I have a shield from his helmet.
They say the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, but in this case, that tree must have been on a fucking hill.
Several generations. This is you know the grandfather. It's really hurtful.
So I went in there and sat down with all these dudes, and they have their kitchen and they have their thing, and miraculously no calls for the almost 2 hours I was hanging
out.
Somebody
disconnected the phone.
Cut the lines,
man.
They're all talking about, you know, the one guy's grandfather was a fire captain and his dad was a fireman and he became one, and they're showing pictures of their kids.
It's kind of a family biz in a sense. Yeah. If your dad's, you know, in the biz, you're likely to be one.
Just one guy's got a daughter who plays professional beach volleyball, it's just they're bragging about their family. It's just salt of the earth, could have a conversation, you know, got references and stuff, but still had that dude base, mm-hmm. you know. And it was just a great evening. I got to tell you, it's like the kind of thing that you'd probably think you would never do. Maybe why would you? But I got to tell you, you know, and I don't know what version this is for anyone listening, but you find the local firehouse, tell those guys you want to buy them dinner, let them set the date, go in and talk to them.
What a great idea.
It couldn't fucking hurt if you ever blew in a call and someone was trapped under a girder or something. But
you think they take their time if you didn't buy them dinner?
Found out that the great Dick Butkus lived up the hill.
Wow.
Because they were name dropping.
How about that?
You know?
Bears.
But it was just nice. First off, they appreciate the shit out of it.
Yeah.
They love it. They love hanging out. By the way, no allergies, no gluten issues.
Oh, they didn't tell you no peanuts?
No restrictions?
Didn't tell you no nothing. You just bring whatever you got.
How many veggie sandwiches?
They go right in. So that was a wonderful experience. There were a couple aspects of it. It was interesting because I was saying to those guys, my old story, like I wanted to be a fireman, and then I went and signed up, and then they told me, have to wait for 7 years, and then I finally got my test date, and then I passed my written test down at Hollywood High on a Saturday morning, and then I went and took the physical test, and they knew what I was talking about. Oh yeah, that was the old one. They had to do the step with the 40-pound hose pack on and stuff. I was like, yeah, I can do, because I was a horrible student, Dumbo. But I was physical all day long. Right. I was doing construction, playing football, boxing and stuff. It's like, I could do anything. So I was like, I'm not going to pass the written test because I can't pass a written test. But the physical shit, that should be no problemo. And then when I passed the written test, I was like, oh, shit. Oh,
gravy.
You're in.
Now you might be a fireman. And I did all the hose packs and all the push-ups and all the stuff that they've all lightened up now because they're trying to get more ladies involved. But I said, then I did that goddamn rope test. Couldn't do it. Mm-mm. Couldn't do it. And it's
a
test.
The rope test?
They have about, I'd say about 20, 25, 30 feet, big pulley on top, big wheel. Rope is attached to 50 pounds or 40 pounds or 70 pounds or whatever it is. Goes up, loops around the loops around the pulley, comes down in front of you. Then there's a line, and the line is about 3 foot back from the rope. So you can't stand under the rope and grab it and fall down and pull
up.
Your
body
weight. You have to kind of lean forward, you know.
Jesus, who can do that?
And I said, it's the one thing you kind of have to practice because there's a trick to it, which, of course, I never knew. So I said, I lean forward, I grab that rope. I think they give you some, you know, farmer's gloves. I said that all it did was slide through my hand. It just slid. I'd pull it. It'd come up like 2 foot and it would slide through and I'd grab there.
Leaning back and getting momentum?
And wrapping it around your forearm? Yeah.
They don't let you lean back. I think you have to lean forward and do it. I don't think you can wrap it against your forearm. But I said, I don't have a very good grip. I'm pretty strong, but my grip's not that great. And I just slid. It just slid right. And every guy at the table at the same time, like, raised his hand and went, turned it to the side. It's like, you grab it, you turn it 45 degrees, you pull it down, grab it, turn it, pull it down. They all just looked at me and did that. And I was like, oh, that was it. That's how you do it. All I needed was that one piece of information, and who knows what would be a fireman.
So it wasn't a strength test. It was some sort of like escape room test.
It was like, first off, who's going to really strengthen their grip? You know what I mean? It's kind of a hard thing to do. And it's also a thing that if you don't do that technique, even if you have a strong grip, it's going to be a tough slog. So you have to turn it. Mm-hmm. And again, you turn it like 45 degrees, and then you pull down. You get a little bite, and then that's how you do it. Never knew it. Never spoke to anyone. Wished I had the internet back then. I would have figured that one out. But anyway, greatest dudes in the world. Had a lovely dinner and a lovely conversation with these guys, and there they are.
That's awesome.
So that's why I'm wearing the hat. They gave me a hat. It's, what's it say?
70.
Los Angeles County 70 Fire Department.
Station 70.
Yeah. So that was...
Shout out to Station 70.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I was done eating dinner with these guys. I was like, that was a great night. Like, I was like, I don't know.
What did you bring?
Went to Marmalade Cafe.
Oh, nice.
Got pot roast. Can't go wrong with pot roast, especially with firemen. Mashed potatoes, green beans, chicken piccata.
Damn.
And
treat them right.
They provided the dessert, actually. Yeah, they got a whole working kitchen over there.
Of course.
Anyway, they all have a sense of humor because they're just dudes. Mm-hmm. And but they're all like proud of their family and they're kind of proud of what they do. Mm-hmm. And it's good, especially in this crazy world we're living in. Just like guys, they're kind. They're patriotic. They have this real sense of duty. You know, they're there. Yeah. It's important to them. They take their job seriously, but they don't take themselves seriously.
That's awesome.
That's what you want.
I think we're big amongst firefighters because I think I told the story when it happened 4 years ago. I remember Tessa was a baby. There was a crazy person on a roof in our neighborhood. He was like, he had committed some crime and ended up on a roof, a single story house, of course, in our neighborhood, maybe a block away. And fire trucks everywhere, police everywhere. And we're like, what's all the commotion? So we walk on over there and there's a firefighter outside of his truck. We're like, what's going on? He's like, oh, you know, crazy person. He wanted for whatever. Mm-hmm. He was on the roof and he goes, hey, by the way, big fan. Like, oh, thanks. He's like, I love the show. We work just at the fire station on Pico, like Pico and Overland, basically. And
our people.
Lou. Shout out to Lou if you're still there at the fire station.
Yeah, it's right in the demo because all these guys seem to know everything about me. They probably hopped on the IMDb, found out I had Crohn's disease. Came there.
I'm doing okay, man.
Or Wikipedia or whatever one puts the weird information up there that you can't get down. The other thought, which is, so here's a concept. The blue collar dudes, those dudes, and these dudes, big dudes, big forearm dudes, like big hand dudes, like it does not attract the petite. These are sturdy dudes, and their kids, one of their kids was, you know, thinking about playing this close to playing professional football. They're athletic, strong dudes.
Sturdy.
And they're all dudes that were jocks in high school, I'm sure. Now, here's the thought. And it's anecdotal, but you guys tell me what you think. The jocks are a pain in the ass when they're 19 and pumped up with testosterone and getting in everyone's grill and wanting to throw down and everything like that. You get those guys after 45, you got the best of all worlds.
Mellowed out.
You got the jock mentality, but the mellow. It's basically, you know, that, you know how nice prize fighters are or octagon fighters are after the fight?
Right.
Like, they're gracious. They're congratulating the other guy.
Yeah.
They're being humble. Right. They're thanking God. Like, that's kind of what it is. The nerdy guys were pretty inert in high school, didn't do much, not in anyone's grill or anything. Those guys get worse as time goes on. And then when they get some juice, now they're working over at CAA or something. Like, oh, fuck, I got to deal with this
Ari Gold.
Fucking piece of shit munchkin. Right, Ari Gold from Entourage. So it's like, I realize that the nerds are probably good, like, 0 to 30. But once
they're getting younger,
once they get a little more seasoned, you want that ex-jock. They got it out of their system. They're mellow. And by the way, you can poke fun at them. Like they don't want to throw down.
Right.
Like they're friendly. They're not interested in proving anything to you. That's the whole thing. Right?
I can yes and the shit out of this and give you the world's best example. The meanest, like, just stockiest, like, brick shithousest guy that went to our high school, just, you know, like the typical, like, pushing people into lockers and just being a dumb fucking dumb bitch the whole time. Never knew what happened to him. Nobody, you know, that wasn't friends with him had a good memory of him. Turns out at our last reunion, I found out he went up to people individually to apologize for the way he was in high school. And I didn't know him at all, but he was like, I guess he had a big list, reached out to me and said, I didn't see you at the reunion. I just want to say, if I was ever a jerk or anything, I am so sorry. So this happens every once in a while, I guess.
The other realization I had, not connected to this, but connected to the beach. We do our rich man, poor man.
Indeed.
I was trying to figure out a new segment called, like, old guy, young guy, which is stuff you didn't want when you were young, which you do want when you're old, or vice versa. So it dovetails with my, when you're young, you take all your shit off to get in the pool. Mm-hmm. When you're older, you start putting shit on. Like, where's my swim shirt? Where's my big rimmed hat? Where's the PABA?
My fins.
Where's my zinc? Where's my shit? Like, you do start putting shit on to go into the water. There's a beach, and the beach has, I can't quite explain it, but it's a little private beach, and you have a key card and you can access this little private beach. And with the little private beach, they have a lifeguard and they have staff and whatever. And I go into the ocean all the time. And I walked in the other day and it was like 5 in the evening. I was like, all right, I'm going in the ocean. And I was like, waves look a little rough. And then it was like, no lifeguard. And I was like, shit, where's the lifeguard? But when I was a kid, all I did was pray that the lifeguard wasn't there.
Yeah.
Please,
can
they leave so we can fucking start having some fun?
Yep.
And when I had this moment of like,
there should be a lifeguard here.
I was like, oh, man, I'm old. Now I'm old because the entire first half of my life is like, we got to get that fucking lifeguard out of here so we can fucking party.
We should call it Sonny Corolla, old man, because he had the same thoughts as a 14-year-old. Where's the lifeguard?
Well, he wouldn't go in the ocean because he stated, 97% of the ocean is unexplored.
97?
That's a lot.
Or maybe it's 90. He may be shitting out a number, but the point is as long as the vast majority of the ocean is gone unexplored,
no can do.
How can he get in 3 foot of water in Malibu?
Not the part he'd be in. Yeah. Nowhere near the
certain
part he'd be in.
Parts are well explored.
It's just the ocean, Gina.
Got it.
It's not this part or that part.
And did he not tell you this while he was wearing black socks and sandals? I'm pretty sure that was part of the story.
He's not a sand fan.
It's not a beach baby.
All right. Let's see. Let me hit Morning Wire. Is Chris Hansen here already? Is that a true statement?
Yeah. Well, he can taste some caviar with us.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll bring him in early because we're going to do a little caviar tasting. Morning Wire, America's trust in the media is at an all-time low. So-called respected news channels are state propaganda and virtue signaling. Well, here's a new alternative. It is Morning Wire. It's put on by the Daily Wire. It's about 15 minutes long. I've listened to it on a number of occasions. It'll get you all caught up in a sort of bite-sized morsel of what's going on in the world today. Daily Wire is conservative, but they'll give you both sides of every issue, and it's very well put together, and it's very well directed, and it's very well produced. And it's brought to you by the folks over at the Morning Wire. John Bickley and co-host Georgia Howe. Episodes drop every weekday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe now, and you can hear the trailer. If you like it, leave a 5-star review to help Daily Wire provide a source for Americans so they can wake up and something they can trust. All right. Well, we should take a break. Maybe we'll bring Chris in early, and he can try some caviar. The caviar story is, I was never a caviar guy, but good.
No.
Because I love Saint-Tropez.
You're going to find this hard to believe. I know you think I love the finer things in life, etc. Not a caviar guy.
Salty little fish.
Not here nor there.
Well, let me tell you about caviar. It's a lot like cocaine.
Oh,
go on.
You do it all at once?
You get the cheap shit that's been stepped on, and it's got fentanyl and baby powder in it and stuff.
Joe's caviar.
And you're like, all I do is feel sweaty and weird and sped up.
Bad taste in my mouth.
Oh, I had a friend who worked on Miami Vice.
Oh, really?
Came home one day, said, oh, this is what cocaine is in Miami. And I was like, oh, this is best. I've never felt better in my entire life. This is the greatest news ever.
I'm going to go paint the house.
What you pay for?
I was that way with, I was caviar. I was like fish eggs, salty, weird. But a year ago when I told you guys that Mike August, his whole thing is he walks through lobbies of hotels, he walks through airports, and he listens to people's conversations,
He listens to everyone's conversation except the people who are talking to him.
And if somebody says, they own an RV dealership, he'll just like stop and go, what if we took that RV and we put the Corolla signage on it and you gave it to us for a month and then we would drive it and
always
we could
thinking.
Do a live podcast,
So
we were walking through a hotel after doing a show in Seattle, I think it was. Maybe it was in Portland. Anyway, nice couple. Someone said hi. The guy made a mistake and said he was like an executive chef, and Mike was like, you like cooking? I like eating. The guy's like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, then the guy made a big mistake. He's like, I'm a big car guy.
Oh, boy.
And then Mike's like, you coming out? You're going to come out to Car Week over in Pebble Beach? And he's like, well, I'd like to. And he's like, well, why don't you come on out and bring your meat?
I smell a barter.
Next thing you know, this guy's got the best steaks you've ever seen in your life. He's cooking everything up. He's doing everything. He's in our Airbnb on a Saturday, just going fucking sick, and then he pops out the caviar, and the caviar was like, I'll wait for the steaks, not this caviar.
Really?
This caviar was like $2,000 a tin, and he put it on a Ritz or something. It was like, I was going out of my mind. It's like, this stuff is awesome.
Sure. So, yeah, I'm curious.
There is caviar, and then there's caviar. This is stuff we're all used to. We get at the truck stop.
Yeah, Trader Joe's caviar.
The vending machine.
And then there's the real stuff. So now, what was this story, Chris?
So during the meet and greet, when I was selling merch, I just happened upon a conversation with one of the fans out there, Leanne. And she mentioned that her and her husband, who is also there, own a sturgeon farm.
Oh.
And in my brain, I only know one thing about sturgeon farms, and that is caviar, because there's this really great Gordon Ramsay video where it looks like he's nutting his pants just tasting it right out of the sturgeon. It's the most amazing video to watch, just seeing Gordon Ramsay just be that infatuated with a food, and it was caviar. So we talked about caviar for a while, and then she said, I'm overnighting you guys some caviar.
Whoa.
We got it sent yesterday. We received it, and we thought, let's eat it on air and have her kind of guide us through what we're doing.
What kind of fish does Russian caviar come from, or other caviar?
Oh, it's this one. This is a sturgeon. This is like a Russian sturgeon. It's sturgeon. That's the
one.
Fish. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We'll have the caviar wrangler on the phone.
But she said that this kind is what James Bond would eat.
Oh, my.
Well, let's talk to her for a second, then we'll bring Chris in. Leanne?
Yeah. Hello.
Hey, thanks for coming to the show.
Sure. Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for sending over your caviar.
Oh, man. It was so much fun. I couldn't believe we were actually sending you guys caviar.
Where do you guys? Well, first off, Chris showed me an insane picture that you sent him, which is how much caviar is in a fish. when you cut it open to get the caviar.
That was a big fit. That was a really big one. That's why I sent him that picture.
All right. That doesn't even look there, real.
Brian, describe what we're looking at.
It looks like or half the meat should be. There is fish eggs.
Millions and millions.
The fishes look waist to head on that person, at least.
The fish looks all of 45 inches long.
It's enormous.
And wide and cut open, and then it just looks like the half entire the innards look like caviar.
It looks like a giant like pool noodle.
Right.
You know?
Yes. That's exactly what it looks like. Wow.
Yeah, that was a particularly big fish. That was like 4 kilos in one fish. We usually get maybe between two and three, but that was a particularly big one.
And where do you?
So it's always nice.
Do you ship everywhere? Where's your business?
We ship all over the country. This country, we're in North Carolina, so we were really happy to see you in Raleigh.
Where? What cities and states do consume the most caviar?
California is definitely one of the top.
Mm-hmm.
I would say after that, it would be Texas.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Louisiana. And then, I'm talking about consumes our, the addresses I see when I'm shipping out. Probably New York and D.C. consume both caviar. Cities.
How much is a tin of your caviar, if that's in fact how we measure it?
Well, the one that you have was the 4.4-ounce one, and that one is $3.95.
Son of a bitch.
So that's $400 worth of
$100 an ounce.
Caviar.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Is $100 an ounce?
It's not any more. If you go to any caviar, that one you're getting direct from the farm, but if you go to a distributor, they're going to sell the same amount for a little bit more. So...
Is there such thing as cheap caviar that's good?
No.
Basically. I like that.
There's 27 species of sturgeon, and sturgeon are the only fish that produce caviar.
Mm.
There's another type of fish called paddlefish or hackleback that are kind of, they look like sturgeon.
So they have the fake crab version of this.
The Louis Vuitton.
And then what's...
So a lot of...
Yeah. Uh-huh. What's the most expensive, and then why? Is it beluga? Is that what it is?
So, out of the 27 species, the ones from the Caspian Sea that are native to the Caspian Sea are the most expensive, and that would be number one, beluga,
and
number two, Ocetra, which is what you have, and then there's another Siberian species called Siberian.
What's number one an ounce? And what the fuck did you think you'd be doing when you were in high school? Because it couldn't be this.
No, exactly. Beluga is the most expensive. It's probably double the price of Ocetra, maybe.
Yeah.
But you got to be really careful because there really isn't such thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So none of these species of sturgeon are actually, none of them are from the wild. It's all farmed.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more of these sturgeon left in the Caspian Sea. So if it says beluga, beluga is really highly regulated and it's extremely hard to get in. It's really hard to farm. They have to become they're 20 years old by the time they can produce roe. So that's not really available anymore.
All right,
but there is a lot of mislabeling.
And
I would say... Uh-huh.
What's the best way to eat it? I swear to God, we ate our beluga stuff on a Pringles chip with some creme fraiche and the caviar or something on there. It seemed the base didn't need to be that highfalutin.
Well, here's the thing. You can get beluga that's been sitting on a shelf for 3 years, or you can get beluga that was harvested last month. So depending on what it tastes like, you're going to eat it. Accordingly.
Oh, you mean your base, your substrate.
It's funny you say that because, we've been talking about little Bellinis or whatever. We did a wine tasting a million years ago for someone's bachelorette in Napa, and we were served it on house-made potato chips. So I think that's a thing.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well,
it's a thing, but the real way to serve it if you're really into it is take a spoonful and put it on the that fleshy part of your hand above your thumb knuckle, when you, it looks like a little nugget of muscle right there. You put it there, and you just like put your mouth on it.
Yeah,
and that way you don't get any other.
Tusky.
That way you can taste it, and then kind of determine what you want to do with it next.
All right. So how long?
It tastes like lotion.
How long? It tastes like Purell. How long does a fish need to be in your farm before you can harvest it?
Mm-hmm. The species we raise is about 10 years.
Wow.
And then, it's a long wait. And mind you, that's like all those fish are mixed male and female, so we got to get rid of the males as soon as possible, and you can't do that until they're about 4 years old.
It's like the opposite of China.
Yeah,
but you must eat the fillet them or something, and
I hope so.
Yeah, what do you do with
horse food
fish?
Out of them or something?
So I sent you guys some smoked sturgeon.
Now we're talking.
They were gonna. So you can actually
Max Pat has been playing that close
to the
vest.
That is not true.
The smoked sturgeon.
Saw him licking his fingers when I walked in.
Dude, I was cutting it.
It scales all over his lips.
See, while you all do, you know, the American breakfast, you think about like hash browns and bacon and eggs. Jews will love a nice smoked sturgeon with some bagel and cream cheese.
All right.
This is hot smoked sturgeon. It's a little drier because we're using heat to like hotter temperature. The cold smoked one that you get, like that the Jews like, is different. It's like oily and a lot.
All right. Well, Leanne,
we're going to take a break.
We're going to bring in Chris Hansen because if anyone knows sturgeon or eggs, it is Chris Hansen. And
not an expert.
We'll put you on hold. We'll try it out. We'll communicate.
Okay.
Stand by.
All right. Cool. So stand by. We'll put you on hold. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll bring in Chris Hansen and we'll try some caviar right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Man, get it on. Oldest thing in the world, newest thing in the world. Servers.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Servers, tablets, the cloud. It's all coming back again. Chris Hansen has joined us. Predators Live with Chris Hansen is available now. It's a podcast. It's available now on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And there's a YouTube show. Have a seat with Chris.
You know I had to.
You had to. Tilt your mic down a little bit there, Chris, just to get the direction right. We're all big fans, and this is and Catch Predator. All right. So first off, 6 Emmy Awards.
10, but who's counting?
Oh, boy.
Well, it says nominated for 11 times. That's just you. I mean, you did a lot of work before Catch a Predator.
Right. Actually, ironically, the Predator series never won an editor in Emmy. Those 10 are for all other investigative reporting and different shows we've done over the years. But we had nominated, I think, for the first Predator episode, but that was it.
Did it become too zeitgeisty or something? Like sometimes there's a little bit of a snobbery. Like, well, if enough people know what this is, then we're not going to nominate it.
Well, I think it did. I think there was some backlash. I think, look, there were some people in the industry who thought we worked too closely with law enforcement, right? But after the first two investigations where we saw people leave, and some of those people were in fact prosecuted after the fact, but it was unfulfilling as a television producer for the viewer to see these guys just walk away, and it was socially not responsible
to have law enforcement involved.
Right. So I think we worked it in a very reasonable journalistic way that met all the social responsibilities that were thrust upon us with this. We didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, we thought we knew, but we didn't know it was going to become all this. And so I was comfortable with the criticism. We had to do it. There was no other way around it.
I've done some hidden camera stuff in my day. Not like that. Well, I did Catch a Contractor. It was like
I love
sort of that.
That was great.
But I'd do some man show bits and,
right.
you know, and there's different wirings people have. It's uncomfortable, or some people like it, or some people are sort of numb to it or something like that. But your job to walk out and confront the guy when he's eating his Toll House cookies and sweet tea with the guy holding the boom mic, that, a lot of people couldn't do that. Or a lot of people have thoughts about it. Some people, it's a personal safety thing. Like, hey, this guy may just grab a butter knife right. and go at my jugular. But in some people, it's like, this is so emotionally weird and uncomfortable. What was it like for you? Was it I'm doing justice and I'm like a part of this? Or is it like, God, here we go again?
Well,
or-
it was a combination, Adam. You know, I had done a lot of spontaneous interviews over the years on different investigative stories I'd done for the network and in local news. But
is that a nice way of saying you sprung on someone with a microphone?
Yeah, I gotcha.
The lawyers like spontaneous as opposed to sure. gotcha interviews yeah. or ambush interviews.
Well, that's when you show the guy who runs the transmission shop, you get the clamshell video out, you open right. it up, and he's pounding a hole right. in the side of the elderly couple's transmission right. with
you're
a screwdriver.
You're in Guam and you're approaching the doctor who you caught on hidden camera in Cambodia going to a brothel where six-year-old girls were being picked
oh,
out.
Oh, boy.
You know, so yeah, you
I'm
got
out.
That.
I'm
right.
out.
Exactly. So you're right in his face.
So you had a good base of that.
Yeah. I did. But nothing prepares you for this exactly. I mean, I remember when we did the first investigation, now 17 years ago, which is shocking, in Long Island, the first guy walks in. Now, I'm wondering on the way over there, what happens if nobody shows up? What if I've just wasted tens of thousands of dollars in the network's money? And with that, the producer calls and says, hey, two guys are coming in 45 minutes. Where the hell are you?
Right.
So you get there and you think you have it all worked out, but you're just trying to keep your heart, you know, out of your throat and in your chest. And the first one goes pretty well, and the second one goes pretty well, and the third guy comes in. And by now, the transcripts are all mixed up, right, because it's our first time.
Right.
So I walk out there and I said, it says here you want to do this, that, and the other thing with a 12-year-old named Susan. No, that's not me. Excuse me. Go back and get the other transcript.
Her name was Rachel.
Three times before I had the right transcript to confront the guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's God. But I used to watch the shit out of that show because I couldn't stop.
Quite the cult following, at least back then. Something that I reference on this show and in my life all the time is Perverted Justice.
Oh, yeah.
Genius name.
Yeah.
Would love to work for them. How did you even get hooked up with them? And do you love their name as much as I do?
I do. I do indeed. They're no longer in existence.
Damn it.
We use different ways in the more recent Predator right. investigations. We shot another one in Michigan just a few months ago for the new series. But I had been told about Perverted Justice by a buddy of mine who was a reporter. I came out of Detroit and the fellow who took my place said, hey, have you heard of these people? And I said, no. And so I called and I started to think, well, if we could combine their ability to go into chat rooms as decoys with our ability to wire a house with hidden cameras and microphones, it could be pretty
Perfect.
Compelling. And it, you know, a lot of smart people weighed in on it, and I pitched it, and we did it.
And I imagine it was on their end, because I imagine this is part of it, so genius to have the man, always, I think, bring something specific.
Yes.
So he couldn't say, I don't even know how I got here. Oh, really? Then why do you have...
Yeah, what do you have?
Know,
seven condoms,
right,
cherry vodka,
right.
and, you know...
Oh,
that's
right.
That's what she asked
yeah.
for.
Yeah, chosen tent.
Yes.
Did the wild popularity of the show in the day impact Perverted Justice's ability to net these guys? Like, did it ever get out on a subreddit or some dark web, like, hey, watch out for this?
We were in Long Beach doing an investigation, and it did get out in some chat rooms that, okay, Chris Hansen, Dateline, Perverted Justice are working. But we still had, you know, a couple dozen guys show up.
Right. Only a couple dozen.
I'll take my chances.
And we've also had, you know, situations in smaller towns in Ohio where we think word got out. We didn't have guys from that specific town, but we had guys come from hours away.
Well, it's also a thing where if that's your thing, it's like saying,
it's hard to keep you away.
I like streetwalkers. Well, be careful. There's a couple of police women
yeah.
who are
yeah.
dressed as brides. It's like, oh, who cares?
My chance.
Well,
yeah.
Out of my way.
Do you know how many yeah. times guys have walked in and said, I thought this could have been you?
Wow.
They say that on the
oh,
show. Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite is my two favorite parts of the show is that I have some questions. My favorite parts are when you ask, what were you planning on doing? And the guys give it like, shoot some pool,
hang out,
drink some beer at the park.
Watch the Steelers-Ravens game.
Yeah, with right. a 13-year-old. Like, first off, it is weirder to drive from Fresno to Sacramento to shoot pool with a 13-year-old than it is to have sex. At that point, you're actually more bizarre.
Yeah, it's way more perverted.
In the last investigation in Michigan a few months ago, we had a guy who was a Michigan corrections officer, a prison guard, who showed up. Who confessed the whole thing to me on camera. He was there for a 14-year-old girl. And I said, well, you have wife and kids at home? He said, yeah. I said, what did you tell them? Well, I was going to Home Depot to get paint. I said, what color? Graphite gray. It's like, you know.
Wow.
They got their whole story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That line does get long over at the Home Depot.
Yeah.
At least the one in Burbank. That would buy you a feasible couple hours.
Bailed out.
Jesus. Criminy. Yeah. I also like when the Fresno Popo would yell at the guy to get down on the lawn, but they were tackling him anyway. They were always on top
of him. The guy with the hands up.
They did not go, lay down on the ground. The guy go, what? They just tackle him every single time.
Well, and 30 seconds before, he was told he was free to leave.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a bit of a mind mix experience.
Because for a millisecond, they breathe like, oh, it's over.
Yeah. What's going to happen to me? And, you know, I don't want to misrepresent it.
Mm. You don't say.
It's not up to me.
Yeah. You can go if you want. Yeah.
Has anyone ever made this argument? I should ask Mark Garagos what he thinks of this. But has anyone ever, you know, then at some point it gets to court down the road. You got to get a lawyer, whatever. Now, the bait gal, she has to be 18 plus, right? You can't use minors for the bait.
Exactly.
The correspondence and the phone calls and whatever.
Correct.
Can anyone make the technical argument where they go, I knew she was over 18. This was just like role playing. Like, this, how old was the person I was corresponding with? She was 21. Well, there you go. I knew that's what this was.
How would you, what is your evidence that you knew that?
Well, I don't know. Ask Bill Cosby because he's poolside right now sipping on a pina colada. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Would it work technically with the judge to go, the person I talked to was over 18?
It's been tried and it's always failed because, you know.
Come on.
They make it very clear. Right, exactly. They make it very clear. The decoys do. And law enforcement does this without us all the time and makes successful prosecution.
There's precedent for it.
If you have a picture of somebody who's undoubtedly underage and they say over and over again, I'm 13. Are you cool with that? K-E-W-L.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's 13 in the eyes of the law.
Yeah. No, I get it. I just, I like to think of macabre technicalities to get pedophiles on the street.
You know, on the streets.
That's car racing.
That's me. I like cars and I like pedophiles running free.
Yeah.
All right. You want to try some caviar, Mr. Hansen?
Sure.
Now, we got the smoked sturgeon here.
We should take a break.
Right?
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
This might
maybe
take a couple minutes.
Yeah, you're right.
Give it its due.
Mm-hmm. Hold on a second.
Chris, do you have any questions for Leanne?
Leanne, who's farms the sturgeon.
Well, I'm very excited. I haven't had caviar in a while. It looks delicious.
Yeah, well.
Sturgeon, too.
You go to those other podcasts up and down the street. You don't get caviar. You may get a little
get
jerky.
Get a chili dog if you're lucky.
Maybe a handful of mixed nuts and some tap water. But we serve caviar
every day.
Yeah.
Tell the A-listers. They know where to get their caviar.
Exactly.
All right. Hey, Leanne.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey.
Hi. I got a few more sturgeon questions.
Okay.
Do you feed them sturgeon food or something that would be entertaining to us?
Like,
they love Chex Mix.
Oh, they're sturgeon.
Like something.
Yeah.
Like, what do they eat?
Yeah, it's a food that's designed for that particular species.
And you want them to produce the eggs?
Yes, but we feed that to the males and the females, so it's not.
All right.
I mean.
Yeah.
And
do they. Brian's got a question. Go ahead.
Forgive me, but these are unfertilized eggs, or are these just appear naturally in the female sturgeon, or what are we talking here?
Yeah, so by definition, caviar is pre-ovulated. I don't want to gross anybody out, but it's like when the eggs are still attached
to
the lifeline of the mother fish.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as they're ovulated, then that's not a good... You probably could get that from some places, but that wouldn't be good caviar if it was if it was ready to be laid, then it wouldn't be good caviar.
Same.
Good. That's a good question. I never thought about that. All right, Leanne, hang on, because we got so caught up in Catch a Predator. That was my show.
This is my favorite day, by the way.
You guys had a crossover episode. What the hell?
And Catch a Sturgeon.
Wow.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and hold on. Now, this guy, when I was at Car Week at Pebble Beach, he put some creme fraiche on there. Now, is that considered training wheels
or
bacon around your liver? Like, what is that? Is that for the kids?
It all just depends on your own taste, honestly. Oh, like, if you taste it first, and then you're like, I'd rather have it with creme fraiche, or I'd rather have it with this or that. I mean, it's all up to you. We just eat it out of the can with, like, some alcohol.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, we have a little vodka with
us,
I believe.
Is that
what this is? Yeah. Just sipping on it.
Is there a special vodka that we need?
I mean, I prefer one that's made here in North Carolina, which is called Social House, and I think they sell it nationwide. It's really good. Mm. It's better than, like, some of the other, like, I like Kettle One, but this one, the North Carolina one, I kind of like better than the Kettle One.
All right, but it's to be enjoyed with a little vodka.
Show keeps getting better.
All right, Leanne.
Vodka, champagne, whatever.
Oh, yeah. All right, yacht. Hang on. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be back with Chris Hansen and Leanne and Sturgeon. Sorry, wrong egg. Caviar right after this.